Before we start tonight's episode, I just wanted to take a little bit of time and talk about my stepfather, Joseph Mosley. December 5th, this past Thursday, he passed away. He was a very special man to me. He will be missed greatly. He was loved by his family. So I just wanted to take this time and thank everybody who reached out, who understood why we didn't have a podcast this past week. I just couldn't find the time to fit one in. But thank you for all our listeners, and I just wanted to say that I love my stepdad very much, and he will be missed. Thank you.
Wentz to the end zone, wide open. They did it. Zach Ertz, eat that W, Philly.
All right, Philadelphia, it's time to eat that W. Welcome to the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast. We are back after missing last week. I'm your host, Fred Halbig. Joining me as always, Jay. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good to be back. Good to get back to a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah.
It's been a long week. Very trying time. A lot of emotions, but you know, it was good to get back to some football and to get back to an Eagles win. It was a close one there for a while.
Man, it didn't even look like you guys be in that game at that point. And then,
the tale of two halves it was. Yeah. So the Philadelphia Eagles pulled off a big win over the 2-10 Giants last night to keep themselves in the playoff race and for the NFC East crown. So we'll get into all of that, and we'll also get into the Steelers' win over the Cardinals this past weekend. That's their, like, what, fifth or sixth in a row?
Yeah. They're on a little bit of a run, man.
Yeah, crazy what they're doing in Pittsburgh, because they shouldn't be doing that. With an undrafted quarterback.
No, a fourth-string quarterback.
Without Juju.
And I mean, you can also take into account they lost the best wide receiver, best running back before the season, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But
it's crazy. So I guess we'll get into it right there then, Jay. Let's start with the Steelers game and their big win over the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, man. So Steelers improved to 8-5 on the year. Shocker there.
I'm actually legit shocked by that.
It's crazy. This is crazy. But, I mean, you did ask me before when they were on their – I think they were 1-4. You said, what's realistic? And I said 8-8. I didn't give up. I said 8-8. And it looks like they're going to do a little better than that.
Yeah.
8-5 secures Tomlin's 13th winning season. And right now he's – I think he has the longest streak of a coach starting their career with winning seasons. So that's real good for him. So 8-5 Steelers.
You can't fire him now. We were talking before the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something we can address on a later podcast. My apologies to Mike Tomlin, because
absolutely, he should be coach of the year.
Coach of the year. People say Harbaugh. Harbaugh hasn't lost what Tomlin lost.
No.
Harbaugh hasn't had to make the adjustments Tomlin has.
If you can continue to win, I mean, they're doing it with defense. Don't get me wrong.
It's
absolutely not like Duck is going out there and throwing. He's doing what he has to do to manage the game, and that's all you need out of him.
Yeah.
But they're doing it with a legit one of the best defenses in a long time.
Yeah. And then you can say, like, I know everyone, and I keep yelling about it, that Minka trade, but they did that at a time where they were 1-3. And everyone's – or 1-2, and everyone's like, what are you doing? The season's over. Why are you doing this? Look, that's why you do it.
Yeah.
And give up on the season.
Well, it's not just Minka. It's T.J. Watt. It's Bud Dupree.
I get it.
The rookie linebacker. What's his name?
Devin Bush.
Devin Bush, yeah. Sorry, that was escaping me there. I mean, Joe Hayden had a couple big plays this past week.
Three interceptions in 2 weeks for him.
Yeah, this entire defense is just playing – lights out right now.
It's been they're on an unbelievable run, and we'll see what they can do. But yeah, as of this week, they beat the 3-9-1 Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals gave them a little bit of a game, but coming out of that game, two injuries of note. Vance McDonald, surprise, surprise, concussion, hurt once again. I don't know what you do with this guy at this point.
I mean, there's concussions. There's nothing you really can do.
I get
he plays that kind of style of football.
It's something new every week. You know, I don't know. It's the injury. It's the injury prone tag. He just, it's what he is. And then Jalen Samuels with a groin. I don't think this is going to be too serious. It was later in the game, but really haven't heard much about it. So, I guess we could jump right into the game. All offensively, everything ran through Deontay Johnson.
Johnson looked good.
Had a monster bounce back game from last week. He looked awful last week. Had some I think he had a fumble last week, a couple drops. This week he caught 6 balls for 60 yards, a touchdown, and a gigantic punt return.
Yeah, that punt return, and they used them on like reverses and shit too, didn't they?
They ran a wildcat with Jalen Samuels, who tossed him the ball, and he took it around the end for about 30 yards.
Yeah.
So it was a big run for him. But, yeah, he's doing a lot of damage as a rookie for this team. How's that feel? Didn't you say you got – who did you draft right before him?
JJ, who had a big catch last night, actually.
JJ looked set up better.
Yeah, to set up the tying touchdown. So,
yeah.
Maybe there's a little bit of hope. But.
We'll see. And then also Duck. Duck played really well. And last night really reminded me, I'm not saying he is, but this really reminded me of what Ben was his rookie year.
Oh,
Ben was a game manager.
Yeah.
Where Ben wasn't asked to come in and win the game for you, but just don't blow it and make plays when you can.
Yeah, manage the game. All he has to do is manage the game and not go out there and throw 4 interceptions.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because with the defense, there's no pressure on him to go out there and have to put up 24 to 30 points. You're right.
But he didn't make those mistakes. He was like 16 for 19, so really good numbers.
Yeah.
About 160 yards passing, but he had a nice touchdown to Deontay Johnson.
James Washington has continued to.
Washington is still going strong. He had 4 catches for like 35 yards. The running game looked really good. They had like 160 yards rushing.
Snell has been good after watching him in the preseason. I thought he was never going to.
Yes, we talked about no burst with him, but he's really starting to come into his own. The only thing is he put the ball on the ground last night.
Yeah, can't or, do that.
On Sunday. That's a huge mistake on his part. This is one thing that really has been hurting Steelers. And this is like, I think, 10 games straight where they've had a turnover. And
yeah.
A lot of them seem to come from the running back position. I think this is something – he's a rookie. Stuff like that happens. So we'll see what he does going forward. It's looking like they'll get James Conner back next week and potentially Juju on top of that. But I think Snell has worked himself into getting a lot of carries away from Conner. So we'll see.
What is the Steelers' remaining schedule?
So you have Buffalo this week.
Okay, that's a tough game.
Yeah,
but it's home in Pittsburgh.
Game. Yep.
Prime time now.
Yeah, they switch it to Sunday night. Then you have at the Jets.
And then Baltimore, who will probably be resting their starters.
Yes. It's looking more like they're going to be sitting out. Especially now, I know a lot of people are saying, well, you don't want to sit your starters. You want to knock your division rival out of the playoffs. It's like, okay.
No, you want to go in healthy because they're the best team in the NFL right now.
It's one of the stupidest things somebody could say about that. And then also, the Steelers, by that point, I think if they beat Buffalo and Tennessee loses, they lock up a playoff spot.
Yeah.
So they have it locked up. And then if they beat Buffalo, they have the 5th seed, too.
Yeah.
So going from a team that was potentially
having that game's going to be super boring, unless you like defensive battles. Because Buffalo has a really good defense as well.
Yes.
Steelers, and, you know, Josh Allen, I don't think, is that good of a quarterback. So it might be a very low-scoring Sunday night matchup.
Yeah, he can move, but the Steelers have shown that they could shut down running quarterbacks a little bit. Look, Baker, he's not super runner, but Kyle Murray, they shut down. He had like 1 yard rushing in that game. So
I have an interesting question.
Okay.
It was brought to me by a good friend of the pod, Dan Hyman. What if Duck ends up winning out the rest of the year and possibly wins a playoff game? What do you do at quarterback next season?
Ben's the starter.
Why?
Because you're paying him $35 million.
Yeah, but you don't think there would be a team out there that'd be willing
to... Oh, no. See, okay, I was going to get into that. But if Duck is here and Ben's here, Ben's the starter.
Like, well, it's not they're even both here, but yeah. I'm saying though, now. What do you do?
Duck goes.
Do you? I mean,
you have to see. Look, the thing is, are you going to have Ben for 1 year or 2 years?
Yeah.
If Ben's going to be,
he has 2 years left on his contract.
On his contract, yeah.
Yeah.
If Ben's going to be here for another 2 years, see what you could get for Duck.
I wouldn't see. I don't think you get much for Duck. I think you either if he wins out, and you end up winning a playoff game. Or whatever, and he's looked good this whole time. I think you either, I don't know. I feel like if you roll, like nobody's going to give you a second round pick for an undrafted quarterback. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man.
I don't see that.
I've seen crazier things.
Yeah, but man, that one's tough.
There are some guys out there that could be desperate. I mean,
Ben's coming to the end of his career.
Yeah.
He did not look good at the – I mean, they say he was hurt or whatever, even week one.
He didn't look good in that Patriots game. You could say elbow, whatever you want to say, but he wasn't on injury report, so I'm not blaming the elbow. He looked awful in that – everyone looked awful in that Patriots
game. Yeah.
But my personal thought would be you keep Duck.
And let him back up Ben.
And I would,
But then what if Ben comes out and starts looking bad at the beginning of the year?
Did you want me to get into my Madden GM mindset? You trade Ben.
Yeah.
Let's get some of this cap number off the fucking books. But if Ben's back, Ben's a star. He's earned that. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's
absolutely.
The star.
But will Ben be back?
But if Duck can do what Duck is doing, continue to do that, and not completely collapse, and you think you have something special there, then you have to try to keep this kid around.
Well, he's around no matter what. And I mean, he's on a
but
3 or 4 year deal.
Ben's there for 2 years. Are you going to let him sit behind Ben for 2 years?
That's the question.
Yeah.
For you Steelers fans and their organization to worry about.
Look, it's a good problem to have if it comes to that. But
I mean, for what it's worth for me, I don't think Duck's the future at quarterback. I feel like he could be a good career backup, possibly.
Yeah. Odds are he's not.
You never know. Yeah. The odds are he will not be the next Tom Brady.
Yeah. How many?
Or even better because he was undrafted.
Exactly. But how many undrafted quarterbacks come in and are your future?
Not many.
So it's like, it's a great story to have. I think he's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Considering
exactly what he needs to be doing.
Yeah. And considering the talent he has.
For the past 2 weeks, Duck has beaten the number one pick in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't happen.
it shouldn't.
I'm just saying, though. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. I would say I'm more impressed with the fact that they beat how he looked in the Cleveland game.
Yeah.
Because I thought in the Cleveland game, he was awesome in that game. He made some really good throws, and he helped win that game. This game, he managed it. You know? Like, the punt return was huge. The defense shutting down Arizona's offense. And Duck had a great touchdown throw, but it wasn't like, okay, Duck took over this game.
Yeah.
Duck did what he needed to do to help them and not lose it. So, but that's what Ben did his rookie year too.
Yeah.
Ben had a great defense his rookie year. So I don't know.
The Steelers have a good enough defense to win a playoff game right now, I think.
I think even so, because if they could beat Buffalo, it looks like they'll be going in Houston.
Yeah.
Right now.
And Houston's, as we saw this past week, you know, you never know what you're going to get from them. I agree.
But if they say they keep that sixth seed, it's a toss-up because it could be KC or it could be New England.
Oof.
Depending on how New England plays out. Yeah. And, I mean, the way New England's recording everybody's signals right now.
Spygate again.
Yeah. Spygate but as two. Far as, okay, so the Ben Duck thing, Ben's a starter. I want Duck here just to see what he could do. If Duck can go through and blow up, then you have a really interesting offseason coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Duck will be there no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, if whether they roll with him next season, if he somehow did something crazy.
Yeah.
Or I think he'll be the backup to Ben.
One of the more interesting things is what do you do with Mason?
Yeah, maybe dangle him out there, see if somebody will take him.
Well, they got a fifth-round pick for Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Mason just doesn't seem, I don't know, or just develop him and hopefully maybe he takes the next step. You never know. They saw something in him to make him a third-round draft.
Third-round pick, man. Yeah, so I don't know. Let's just see what Duck can do the rest of the year, and then we could talk about that in the offseason.
Yeah.
After the Steelers are in the AFC Championship game.
So, okay.
So offensively, really solid game all around. Defensively, it's the same story over and over. This defense is great, and they're carrying this team.
Yeah, they're just really good.
There's just nothing they could
do. Not much else you can say.
Yeah. 5 sacks on Murray. This kind of surprised me. Murray, 46 sacks now on the year, most in the league. Especially with his able to move around in the pocket 46 times. That's crazy.
Yeah, from what I saw from that game a little bit, one, the Cardinals' offensive line isn't good.
No.
Two, Murray holds on to the ball a little bit too long.
Yes.
And he takes unnecessary sacks by, like, trying to run around and create a play.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that he doesn't use his legs more.
Well, they said in this game he was dealing with a hamstring.
Okay.
That's what I heard. I don't know how true that is. I was shocked he didn't run as much. I think his longest run was 8 yards.
Yeah, and there was times where it looked like he could have ran to, like, pick up.
Oh, he had one.
A first or a couple. Yeah, and it's like he just didn't do it.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised by that.
He had one late in the game where he tried to fit it in for a touchdown. If he would have took off, he probably would have scored.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's the same one I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Defense really bottled him up. They played great against him. 3 interceptions on the night, 2 from Joe Hayden, another one from T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt was just great, was in the end
zone. Was that the play? Yeah, that was the play where he could have ran. Yeah.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Yeah,
he had a wide-open lane to run, and he didn't. He just Watt threw it up, and Watt made a good play.
Yeah, it was a great reaction.
I just
by
didn't
Watt.
Understand his decision making on that play.
No.
Yeah, great play by Watt, but just kind of Murray. Like, dude, you could have literally just dove forward.
Yeah.
Got at least, I don't know.
TJ Watt didn't get a sack on Sunday, which brings his streak, I think it was 6 games with at least half a sack. So he's still at 12 and a half. And then Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
For the Cardinals is still at 13 and a half. So they're still right there. The other,
is that the two highest in the league?
Yeah, Jones is at 13 and then TJ's at 12 and a half.
Seems a little low.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be more.
It's, yeah.
Normally you have somebody up in like the 17.
Yeah, but that
18
he's the
range.
Jones is leading the league right now. The other crazy thing with this defense is right now Bud Dupree has 9.5. They didn't give him a final sack that he got. They gave it a team sack. But I think they'll adjust it, give it to him. So he should be at 10.5. And
jeez.
Then Cam Hayward's at 8.
Wow.
So they could potentially have 3 guys over 10 sacks.
It's impressive.
On a year. And they're close to, I think they said 60 on a year. So that's going to be incredible. Steelers leading the league in takeaways, 33 now. They passed the Patriots. So defense is just playing lights out. Really good team win for them on the Buffalo now. That's going to be a huge game with seeding for the playoff potential. So we'll see how it goes.
Implications on that one are big.
Yeah, really, really good win for them.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll move on to the Eagles game last night.
Ooh, fun one. This is a fun one.
They actually got a win. I was just the first half. I was like, this is it. I've accepted it.
It was crazy how complacent you got.
Yeah.
With them losing this game.
I was fine. I kind of had a feeling this was going to happen. We didn't do a preview pod last week, but I was going to pick them to lose.
Okay.
Because I just have no faith in this team. And after the first half, I accepted it. I was hoping they would, you know, lose out and we'd have a top 10 pick. But then Carson Wentz kind of showed up in the second half. I'll get into that. The first half, though, their defense was terrible. They gave up two long touchdown passes.
Was it Darby?
Yeah, he missed a tackle on the one.
Yeah.
And then he blew his assignment on the other with like 40 seconds left in hand. They just let a guy run past him. Slayton, Darius Slayton or whatever. Yes. Had like 150 yards and two touchdowns in the first half. So the Eagles were trailing 17-7 in halftime. The boos were raining down, well-deserved. If my son wasn't sleeping, I would have been screaming and booing at the television. But yeah, the second half came out, and I'd say up until almost the fourth quarter, the offense was still struggling. They were moving the ball better, but, you know, they missed a field goal at one point, and it was just looking dire. But then it just seemed, I don't know, seems like things started to change. It seemed like the play calling changed. It seemed like they started to get Wentz outside of the pocket and moving around, and he was starting to hit guys. Oh, I guess before I start into that, the injuries the first half, too. We lost Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
He's probably done for the year. He said he felt something pop in his foot area. And Lane Johnson, who the reports are out now, it's nothing official yet. They think it's a high ankle sprain. And you never know with those. He's a tough dude. He played with a high ankle sprain last year. Maybe he could be back for the Cowboys game.
Okay.
We'll see. So those are the two biggest injuries out of the night. There were a couple other ones, but it seemed like the rest of those guys returned to the game.
Did Whiteside come back? Because he got hurt late.
No. Yeah, I know he pulled up and was, like, grabbing his hamstring. Because
they said, what's your backup? McCown?
Yeah, they said he
switched his helmet.
Yeah.
He was getting ready to go in a receiver.
Yeah, the Eagles were down to one receiver. And three tight ends.
That's the other thing. Like, I don't understand. How do you go into a game with three receivers?
Yeah, that's just negligence.
I don't get that.
That's just terrible by the front office and the coaching staff.
Doug
said after the game that they expected Nelson Aguilar to play. And that's why they didn't move somebody up. But he didn't practice all week. So, like, why would you expect him to play? You know, you had until Saturday afternoon to – call. We have three receivers on our practice squad.
So they expected Aguilar to play. So that's four receivers that you have pressed in.
Yeah. And Alshon's been hurt like the entire year. So, you know, that's just negligence. And I was pretty angry about that last night as well. But yeah, as you said, JJ went out towards the end of the game, looked like a hamstring injury late. So, you know, with the quick turnaround playing on Monday night, he might not be ready to go. They might have to call up a couple guys.
Yeah,
from the practice squad this week. So we'll see how that develops as the week goes on. But yeah, the second half of the game, I think this all lands on Carson Wentz, dude. He kind of really rallied the offense, I believe. He was getting the ball out quick.
Yeah.
In the first half, he was holding on to the ball, taking a lot of sacks. I don't know what changed. I don't know, you know, if it was Carson calling the plays, they moved to like a hurry up offense.
Yeah.
Good. That changed everything. They got Boston Scott involved. He's like Darren Sproles version 2.0. He looked really good last night catching the ball and running out of the backfield.
Yeah. I was going to say it was the tempo. They got the tempo going. And then Boston Scott, that's exactly what I was going to say, man. I no clue that he was going to come through like that.
Yeah, really, really boosted the offense, his running and passing.
He looked fast, man. He was just – he was hitting the line quick. Man, imagine that.
The Eagles with a little bit of speed on their offense. And they're able to
– crazy.
to move the ball. So they ended up needing a score with like a couple minutes left to tie it. they were able to drive down the field and hit Zach Ertz for the touchdown to, or was that? Yeah, I think Ertz scored his first touchdown towards the end of the game to tie it up. I wanted him to go for two. It was a good thing they did not. at that point, I was like, man, just try to win the game. Just go for it. And then, yeah, they get into overtime. They get the ball, and the offense was just rolling at that point. They move right down the field. A lot of Boston Scott, he made a nice run. Juked somebody out of their shoes.
Yeah.
Then Wentz, dude. I can't say enough praise about Wentz this game. There's been a lot of talk about him this year. Obviously, it's not been his best season.
No.
He has not been coming up clutch in big moments like this all year. You know, I mean, you can look at his career. I think he only has like four comeback victories. He's never won a game. He's 0-3 in overtime. He's never won a game in overtime.
Yep.
And he moved the offense right down the field. He had a couple of nice big throws, and then the final touchdown was to Zach Ertz. They called a timeout right before this play, and I think Doug just called an awesome, a great play for the touchdown there. He kind of had Ertz on the outside and motioned him in, and you could tell it confused the Giants defense, which isn't too hard because they're one of the worst defenses in the NFL. But yeah, got him wide open in the back, or Wentz hit him perfectly, boom, touchdown. And just like that, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to end up winning the Super Bowl. They're back, baby.
Oh, man.
No, I don't know about all that. I'm still not too high on this team.
How you change week to week. That's amazing.
No, I'm still not that high on this team. It does put them in good position, though, to win the division. It's going to come down. Yeah, they control it. It's all there in front of them. The Cowboys have a pretty tough matchup against the Rams in L.A. this coming week.
Yeah.
The Rams are playing good ball now. They've kind of bounced back after their little midseason slide. They beat the Seahawks pretty easily Sunday night. So, yeah, I mean, I could see the Cowboys dropping that game.
I do, too. You know, I do, too.
The Cowboys end up being 6-8, and then the Eagles play the Redskins. You know, I know Haskins is hurting right now. I think at the end of the game, he was hobbling around. The Eagles should be able to, even with our injuries, they should be able to beat the Redskins, I would think. I know Darius Geis is going to be out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Eagles lucked out with the easiest schedule in the NFL the last four games of the year. And it's going to come down to week 16. You could have a 6-8 Cowboys versus a 7-7 Eagles. And that's it. That's basically a playoff game right there.
Yeah. So, and then you guys can sit week 17 because there's no need for you to play at that point.
Yeah. If the Cowboys lose the next two, then there's, they can't. That'd be smart. Yeah. That's good thinking, Jay.
I'm a genius. So.
Yeah. An 8-8 division winner.
That's crazy to me. 8-8. Wow.
All you got to do is get in.
That's all that matters. I mean, yeah, but still, like,
I still don't think they can beat the Cowboys, but we'll see when that time comes.
Look, if you get Wentz from that fourth quarter and overtime last night, I think you can. I think the Cowboys are just a mess right now.
Yeah.
Hey, there's nobody there wants to win right now. That team is just awful.
It's crazy. Mentality they got so much wise. Talent.
It's
they
crazy.
So much talent, and they can't put it together.
I don't get it, but I mean, I think you guys can if you get Wentz and the play calling. You guys need receivers. You can't go into Dallas with three.
Yeah,
receivers.
That's the only thing that's worrying me right now. Is like I don't think Alshon's going to play the rest of the year.
Okay,
we'll get Aguilar back. But
what
everybody knows what we think about Aguilar. They could call up that Sony Michel's brother from the practice squad, that Mark and Michelle.
Yeah.
He's shown flashes in the preseason. And then I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who was on the street. Maybe Dez Bryant, somebody. They're going to have to bring somebody in.
You have to. It's going to be AB. It's not.
Especially literally right now, Nelson's probably going to be back next week. So you'll have Nelson Aguilar and Greg Ward as your only two healthy receivers if JJ's hamstrings. Not ready to go in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
which more than likely it won't be. Hamstrings are
tough
injuries to heal from quickly. So we'll see. I'm just happy they got the win. You know, I wasn't expecting much, but it's nice to see them win again.
Yeah. What was that? Three straight losses?
Yeah, they lost. They lost three straight. And this was basically the season right here. Yeah. And they pulled it off. So
that overtime drive was just, it was beautiful.
It was a thing of beauty. Yeah. It was like, I felt like I was transported back to 2017. The play calling, Wentz moving, throwing on time.
Yeah.
Made some really nice passes.
And he was finally trusting his guys. And you still had some big drops last night. There were still some awful drops in that game.
Yeah.
I'm glad
you said that, though. He actually was trusting them.
Yes.
Because that's the one thing Doug said in his press conference last night, that he saw Wentz trust the offense, trust the play call, trust the guys, and he just got the ball out, and then the offense moved. So maybe we'll see more of that, hopefully.
Yeah, and I think that was his biggest problems in those three games. It wasn't that Wentz is awful. He was second guessing himself.
First half of this game as well.
Yeah.
You could tell he didn't want to throw to some of those guys.
Yeah. He was just like, I mean, who, 84 for you?
That's
guys.
Greg Ward.
Greg Ward. He had a touchdown in his hands.
Perfect.
It was
pass.
A tough catch for him. I think he's a rookie.
No, he's not a rookie, but he was playing in the AAF, and he was a quarterback in college.
It's a tough catch, man, but it was perfectly thrown, and he should have caught it. It was a touchdown, but, I mean, Wentz finally started trusting him, just letting them make plays. And,
so,
good win.
Big win, absolutely. So, I guess, like I said, we have the Redskins next week. I think that's a 1 o'clock game in D.C., very winnable game. They should win this game. But we'll get into that more on our preview pod. Other than that, that's really all I have to say about the Eagles game. Jay, anything else?
Real quick. So we got a new review
on
iTunes from our buddy Ian. Yeah. So he says, he says, what a great show. Always love to hear Jay's takes and love the raw emotion by Fred. Always keeps me up on my information and makes me laugh every time. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, E. Appreciate it.
Thank you for all the support, man.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who tunes in every week. Jay, tell them where they can find us.
Yeah, so check us on Twitter at @birds_berg. Get us on the Facebook page. We've seen a real uptick on some of the likes on there, so we're really happy with that.
Yeah, that translates into listens.
Yes. But, thank you all for liking the page and everything. Follow us on there, Birds in the Berg Podcast. Check us out on all podcasting sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Please leave a like, review, subscribe on all that. And, thank you.
All right, sounds good. That was the Birds in the Berg Football Podcast, episode 39. We'll catch everybody this week.